That was awesome. You guys hear her? Yeah. Did you guys hear her? Yeah. I know, I'm still hearing her words in my head. That was part of this like whole sermon that's coming out today. So, are you going to pray for me today?
I'm going to pray over you.
Okay, she's going to pray.
And I also
pray for us.
Share. Brad and I had picked for this season, possibly going into Hebrews. We don't know how long this verse will persist, but I'm going to read this word before we get started.
Yeah.
This is Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Huh. So as we proceed through this season and maybe further, this will be the scripture that will kind of like drive us and just asking that God would pierce our hearts in just the right way so we'd be who he wants us to be. So thank you, God, for Wes. Thank you that I had the privilege to watch him prep for this sermon. The time, the prayer, the thoughtfulness, the seeking out of counsel. He really wants to honor and give you the glory. I pray, Lord, that that would happen today, that you would shine brighter, that we would know you deeper, that you would, the words that you downloaded to Wes would pierce our hearts, and that we would be made into your image, going into that next glory that we read about in Corinthians. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Thanks. Love you.
Yeah.
All right. Don't go too far.
Okay.
I got a secret code for you in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So subtle, my wife's secret code. Well, thank you for letting me speak to you guys today, and thank you for coming. I know I've got some friends back there, like Terry right here. He's been a friend of my dad for like 25 years now, and a friend of mine, But I've gotten to know him even better going to my dad's Bible study. And Mike right there, he's part of the same Bible study, so it's a pleasure having you guys here. What a delight. And our friend back there, Janine, it's so nice to see you. So glad you're here. Yeah. One of Janet's good friends. And, of course, many familiar faces. Thank you for letting me talk to you today. Appreciate that. I'm committed here to love, to love you, but to receive God's love and to call that out in you guys. To receive God's forgiveness and his provision and call that out in you guys as well. That's what I'm here for today. That's what I'm about, and I want Jesus to be glorified as the epitome of what that love looks like. That's what God's love is revealed as. Tara's sermon last week was really cool, and I actually started making sermon notes before she started speaking, and then I had to change those around after she spoke, because she was all about reconciliation. You remember we had the hard hearts and the soft hearts over there, and that moved my dad, too. I remember talking with him right after that. And he starts telling me this story about a guy named Christian Bernard. You guys ever heard of him? I know my dad has, right? Mm-hmm. And probably the men's group guys, because my dad probably, you know, he likes to tell a good story, you know? So, well, Christian Bernard, he does. You got to hear my dad's stories. Christian Bernard is a South African man. He was the son of a minister, and he's got a lot of siblings. They ministered to the poorer parts of South Africa, so he didn't have a lot of money growing up. But he was the first man in the world to perform a heart transplant. I know. It was in 1967, December 3rd. Happy birthday. Glad you're here. Now, there was a rumor. This is the first time it ever happened in the world, right? But there was a rumor, all right, and you can look this up. It's kind of hard to verify, but the rumor is that after the surgery, Christian Bernard went up to this man who had had the heart surgery performed on him, and he asked him, "Would you like to see your old heart?" It's never been asked before. Nobody's ever had an opportunity to look at their own heart. Ever. And the story goes that the man said yes. And Christian Bernard brought out this jar, and his heart was inside of it. And for the first time, a living person was able to look at their own heart in a jar. And the guy says, he looks at this heart. It's kind of old. It's kind of diseased. It wasn't what he thought it was going to be, you know. And he's looking at it, and the story says that he starts to weep, saying, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know that's what my heart looked like. And the story is that people just don't know. We just don't get what is actually happening and what our hearts actually look like until it's shown to us. So I wanted to pray with you guys, if that's all right. Okay. Father, we love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We ask that he's glorified and exalted, and that the forgiveness and the love that he came here to pour out would be rejoiced in and accepted and poured out through us and into this world, and that your Son would be glorified and lifted up here. We love you, God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, I wanted to look at a couple things with you guys. Like about three main points I want to go with, okay? One of them is basically we're going to be looking at what forgiveness is all about, okay? Why forgiveness? What does that matter? Well, there's a couple things that I want you guys to consider. And you don't have to believe it, but I just want you to try it on and see what you think about it, okay? Last week when Tara was doing that song, I remembered listening. I don't know if you guys were there. How many here for the song last week? Okay, she played a song, Tara did. And in that song, she was inviting us to consider what it was like when we first became a Christian. All right, the joy of actually knowing the Lord for the first time. And I remember listening to that song and experiencing some resistance in there. Like, I don't know if I really want to get in touch with all of those feelings. Like, wow, that was kind of overwhelming what I felt back then. And like, it was really nice, like the invitation, I like being reminded of it, but I still felt resistance in me. And I thought, you know, maybe that's a sign of something. And I want to invite you guys to consider the idea that areas of resistance could be caused by one thing. Or actually, I wouldn't even say caused by. I would say, you guys know what a linchpin is? Yeah? Some of us don't. So it is a, you know, like the wagons, you know, like wagon wheels, like back in the day, like you get these big wagons. They had these huge wheels, right, on the side of the wagons. And those wagons were connected to an axle. And the axle, once you insert the wheel onto the axle, you hold it in place with a linchpin. That linchpin is the one thing that holds that wheel in place. And so you take that linchpin out, and then the wheel falls off, right? So what I want you to consider is that the things that hold our resistance in is something called unforgiveness. I want you to consider that. I just want you to try it on and think about it. That at the root of it all, like whatever it is, whatever kind of resistance we're experiencing in ourselves, if we're experiencing resistance, maybe you're not. Maybe you're just flowing in that spirit and like, woo, this is awesome. But if there is anything like that, and you see it in yourself, there is at the core of that, at the bottom, some kind of unforgiveness. Just consider it. And I also want you to consider this. Try it on. That nobody's crazy here. And that if there is some kind of unforgiveness in us, that it is there because we want it to be there. We're actually getting something out of it. We're getting some kind of a payoff, all right? So if I could get Tara to come up here. All right. She's going to help me out with this too, because I want to just examine this with you guys for a little bit, just to try on these ideas and see what you think. Are you guys following me so far?
Yeah.
Are we doing all right? Okay. So let's just say, because we're looking at forgiveness, we're going to look at it in different angles. We're going to look at it in the angle of unforgiveness here. So unforgiveness. If we have some kind of unforgiveness in our lives, let's consider the idea that there's a reason for it, some kind of a payoff that we're going to get out of unforgiveness, some kind of a benefit we're getting from it, all right? Let's just consider that. You don't have to agree with it. That's fine. So unforgiveness. So we'll call this the payoffs. We'll start with that, all right? So who would like to start us out with some kind of a payoff that you can get? Can you even see that? Tara's is easier to see, I think. Okay.
You feel powerful.
Alliances.
Okay, so power can be something you get out of unforgiveness. Okay, you can get a feeling of power. That's good. Yes, it's great. The feeling that you're right. I'm right about this situation. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Would free be good?
Freedom?
Yeah.
What kind of freedom do you experience from unforgiveness? From unforgiveness.
The person or the thing is just not there, and you got free of freedom.
Right. So like avoidance kind of thing, like I don't have to deal with them,
yeah.
Kind of a thing. Like I don't have to worry about them anymore. I don't have to care about them. It's basically like apathy. Yeah. Like I don't care about you anymore. Right? A disinterest. That kind of thing. Am I tracking with you? Okay. Yeah. That could be seen as a type of freedom, right? It can be considered that way. Yeah. The payoff is I would say entitlement to have revenge, right? Like I'm allowed to take revenge on this person now. That's my payoff. Like it's a license to have revenge anytime I want to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. So I think that would be like another type of like arrogance. Like I'm better than them. They're not as good as me. They don't deserve it kind of a thing.
Protection.
Yeah. Protection. Yes, very good. I don't want to get hurt again. Exactly. Exactly right. That's one of the payoffs is protection. And sometimes that isn't bad, right? In a sense, like there's a sense that is okay. Self-preservation, right. That kind of goes with the protection kind of a thing. Yeah. Yes, well, it's more like a license to be angry kind of a thing. Like, I'm allowed to feel this way. I'm entitled to it because of what happened to me kind of a thing, right?
Isolation.
Thank you. That's a good one. Very good. All right.
It's also like you're thinking they won't fix themselves even if you're doing it.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to group that into what we call maintaining our own, like a storyline. All right, how many of you guys know that we kind of create these stories about our situations, about how we're the good guy and that person's the bad guy, right? And as long as we can maintain that storyline that we're the good guy, then we're going to be able to keep all these payoffs over here. We'll be able to keep it going. So part of that storyline is they're never going to change anyways, even if I did try to address it. Thank you so much. That's so good. So one of the payoffs is you don't have to examine your own problems, right? It's their fault. It's their fault, not mine. Exactly. And it's interesting, too, because we'll look at it just a second here. That's a good, actually, lead into. Can we write it next to this, Tara? The price that we pay for unforgiveness. The prices that we pay. Because can you say that again? Yeah, the price is that you don't grow.
You don't grow
and you're stagnant, right? And one of the prices you pay is that you are blinded. You have limited vision. That is a price, a cost that you pay for holding on to unforgiveness. How are we doing so far? Go ahead. Oh, that's good. That's really good. Yes.
No.
I'll just take that off the sermon later. That's good. That's right. Thank you. Okay, you miss out on God's blessing. Yeah. I can imagine like a hose being stepped on and all the goodness of God not really flowing into the life anymore, right? Something like that. Hard heart. That's one of the prices. Very good. And that's what Tara was all over last week. So,
shame.
My goodness. The shame and guilt. That's another price that we pay, right? We have to bear that. Yes?
I know this word has like belief
too,
but like prejudices. Like, kind of see others.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. You start painting people with wide paintbrushes and wide swath. You just see everybody that way. Judgmental is a great way to put it. I love that. Thank you, Tara. That is fantastic. Oh, that is so good. Isolation and, you know.
You can be rejected. I mean, people will literally stay away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broken relationships. I would write that down. That is good. Because there's a trail of broken relationships when there is a there's unforgiveness held. It will be a pattern of that over time. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Lack of joy.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to church, everybody. How are we doing so far? Doing all right? You guys feeling uplifted yet? Okay. All right, we'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there. But how's that look? We have a good picture of what it looks like to have the payoffs, why we'd want to keep unforgiveness in our life, right? And then the prices that we pay for keeping it in our life. And for some reason, look at this. All this stuff is worth it to us over here. Look at this. This stuff is worth it to us. Being right, keeping our storyline, thinking they won't change, having this arrogance. Thank you, Tara, by the way. I appreciate that. This kind of stuff, this entitlement to want to keep revenge, all that stuff is like, it happens all the time. People want this all the time. People want to live in this. All the time it happens. It happens in myself. It's stuff that springs up in us. Like we just want this stuff for some reason. Some kind of power we're getting out of it. This is something that God takes very seriously. Very, very seriously. And if you look at the Old Testament, we're going to travel back in time to the Old Testament for a little bit. And we're going to take a look to see what God instituted in the Old Testament in order to deal with all of this stuff. Alright? So in the Old Testament. Oh, interesting. There is like a number of sacrifices that God instituted, okay? A bunch of them. So there is the sin offering, which is for sins that you didn't know you committed. There is the guilt offering, which are for sins that you are aware of you committed. There is several different kinds of guilt and sin offerings, you know, bulls or goats or sheep, depending on how big of the sin is and how small it was. There's offerings for when you're unclean, like two turtle doves, if you just gave childbirth or something like that. You know, you bring your turtle doves in because you need to get purified. So there's so many different types of sin offerings and guilt offerings. And then there's fellowship offerings, which you do just to celebrate. And you can bring those up to the Lord and you can share those together with everybody. They all partake in that kind of a blessing, which is really cool. So I wanted to look at one of these over here because there are a bunch of different types of offerings. But I want to paint a picture of what it looks like in Leviticus 4, is where I'm turning right now. Leviticus 4, verses 27 through 35. And this is going to be, it's going to paint some images of what it looked like to go through this process of forgiveness. Not only to receive forgiveness, but for the priests to give forgiveness to the people, which is interesting. And this is something I thought of because I've been reading the Bible with Tara recently. So we've been going through the Bible, we've been reading Leviticus, and it was just on my heart. It was actually something I was pretty excited about. The way that the priests give this kind of forgiveness out. It's pretty interesting stuff. Okay. You guys good? Ready? Ready to hear this? Okay. So, if any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without any blemish for his sin which he has committed. And he shall put his hand on the head of the sin offering. And then he shall kill that animal in the place of the burnt offering. And then the priest shall take over from there, and he shall take some of that blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. And its fat he shall remove, as the fat is removed from the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and then he shall be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as his offering for sin offering, it shall be a female without blemish, same process, put his hand on it. It's interesting to see this. For a person to be forgiven, all right? And it's interesting too, because it could be the father of a family bringing back forgiveness for somebody in the family. Like if you didn't keep a vow, let's say you told your friends you're going to meet up with them and you didn't do it. You broke your vow. Time to go take a sheep to go sacrifice. Or maybe you didn't wash your hands before you ate. You broke the purification laws. Time to go take an animal to go sacrifice. Or maybe you didn't, maybe you had some kind of a bodily discharge that made you unclean. Time to go take a lamb to the temple, or a goat, or a turtle dove, depending on the size of the problem, right? And go sacrifice it. And when you take that animal, you bring it up to the priest. And let's say this is, let's just say this guy, let's just imagine. I'm getting ready to go to robotics, all right? We're doing a world championship tournament in a week. And we're going to Dallas, Texas. You guys know who Baron Hefner is? Okay, so he lives over there in Dallas, Texas. And so I'm giving him a call yesterday. I'm like, Baron, you know, I'm coming out to see you. Can we go to church with you? Something like that. It's going to be really fun to see him and connect with his family. And I was like, by the way, what do you think about the scriptures in the Old Testament? All right? So we're talking about this stuff here. And he says, yeah, he's like, that's awesome. Like, why don't you tell a story about that? Why don't you tell a story about what it was like to go do that? So a long time ago, there was this guy named Nathaniel. All right? And he had a sin he committed. He was kind of embarrassed about it. He didn't really want to tell anybody. But in order for him to go get the forgiveness, he had to take his sheep and he had to walk with that sheep. You know how many miles he had to walk? Well, he had to go like about 15 miles. All right? It's kind of a long time to carry that sheep behind him. And he had to pass by all the people in his town and they had to be like, oh, Nathaniel, where are you going? I don't really want to talk about it, guys. It's between me and the Lord. And he's got this lamb that he's taken with him, right? In the heat of the sun, it's a hot day, the dust is everywhere. He's got the sweat coming down him. He finally gets to his destination. He probably had to spend the night somewhere, right? Because he gets to his destination. This happens to be in Shiloh. This is the day of the judges, all right? So that's where the tabernacle was back then. He gets to Shiloh, and he still has to go up to the front of the tabernacle with his sheep, and he has to go up to the priest, and you can hear all the sounds in the tabernacle. You can hear the people, the commotion. There's this distinct smell in there because sacrifices are being burnt there every day. It's meat. It's like being in a restaurant or something with all this meat, roasted meat smell, plus some other weird smells of like the, you know, other parts of the animal getting burnt. And also, there's that fragrance of the incense. It's like nowhere else in Israel. You know, it's like this one special smell in that place. And there's these sounds, you know, of animals getting ripped apart. There's also the smell of like the blood on the ground. You know, that like tingy smell. All this is going on. And he's bringing up his animal. And he's got to bring it up to the priest. And in order for him to get forgiven, he has to put his hand on that animal. And there's some kind of a transfer going on there. It symbolizes some kind of a transfer. And then he's got to take his knife out. And he has to look at this thing that now like represents his sin. That's the thing he did. And he's got to take out his knife and he's got to take the life out of that thing. Put it to death. And all the blood comes pouring out of the animal. And there, now he's done his job. The person who committed the sin. He's not forgiven yet because the priest has to come in at that point. And the priest then takes the animal, drains the rest of the blood out, sprinkles the blood in different places around the altar. And the whole time the guy is watching his the blood of his sin, you know, that he committed, that's been transferred to this animal, pouring onto the ground, the smell of it. If he gets it on his hand, there's the warmth of it. It's weird that in this place, the sacrifice is holy. If it was somewhere else and he touched like a dead animal or blood, it would be unholy. But this is special. He doesn't have to do another purification ritual for this. The priest then continues to follow the ritual, which is to cut up the animal, burn the fat, take other parts out of the animal that aren't going to be burnt. And then the priest goes, and this is actually really interesting too. In Leviticus 6, it explains further that the priest's job at that point is then to take part of that animal, cook it up, and enjoy a special steak dinner. And not just like a yucky tasting one. He's actually supposed to have it seasoned with salt, the salt of the covenant, which is pretty interesting to me. All right? I don't know if you saw that coming. Yes, he gets a special holy dinner. It's just in the private place where he eats part of that animal, as much as like is important to him or a proportion to him. And he can share that with part of his family, with the sons in his family if he wants to. So it's kind of interesting. Out of all the people that, you know, Nathaniel's walking by with his sheep, the happiest person to see him is probably the priest because, hey, steak dinner. All right, this is great. You know, he gets a little extra bonus out of this. But it's not like a party because if he eats it wrong, he could be killed. It's a very sober kind of a meal because, as you know, with the priest, like there is a lot of restrictions. And maybe you don't know, but they have been struck down. Actually, about this time, at this part of Leviticus, the sons Nadab and Abihu were killed because they brought some fire up to the Lord and started swinging it around. They were consumed by fire. So there is this sense of grave holiness. Like we are before the holy God, and it's amazing that we get to eat this special meal here. This is like a blessing that we get to eat. But the cool thing about this I'm just fascinated by it. I think it's so cool. Is that in the middle of this sacrifice, in the middle of this priest forgiving and blessing, there's a special provision for him, like a bonus meal. Like he already gets the tithings. He already gets the heave and the wave offerings and all these other offerings that take place in the regular annual year, like the yearly offerings. But when somebody sins, it's like a special steak dinner that he has to eat privately with just him and his sons. He gets to have a special meal. The kids eat a special meal with their dad. Isn't that interesting? Like a special provision there. A very sobering provision. But it's very interesting to me that that takes place. Not only does God take the sin and forgiveness very seriously, but he makes a bonus provision for them when they practice forgiveness. Yeah. Not only does God take the sin and the forgiveness very seriously, but there is an extra bonus provision for his people when they practice forgiveness. Now, I want to transition from this Old Testament here, and I want to look now at what Jesus showed us about forgiveness. And this is so cool, you guys. All right. The forgiveness of Jesus. You guys all know Jesus taught forgiveness is probably one of his actually most memorable themes that people think of when they hear about Jesus. My dad said recently, he's like, you know, if I could change one thing in the world, what would it be? Do you remember what you said, Dad? Eliminate unforgiveness. Because if you could eliminate unforgiveness, you would like eliminate everything that hangs on unforgiveness. Everything that grows in unforgiveness. Basically, all the sin of the world would be wiped away. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus had a mission, and you could say there's a lot to his mission, right? But I don't know anybody that wouldn't say that forgiveness wasn't at the core of his mission. Forgiveness and eliminating unforgiveness from this world wasn't something that he cared very deeply about. And if you look at his teachings, one of his most famous sayings was to love your neighbor. You guys remember that? He said it all the time. And that's actually a reference to Leviticus, another book in the Bible that we've been talking about, Leviticus 19:18. But what I think, and I didn't realize this, do you guys know what the first part of that verse is? Do you guys know? It's okay if you do. If you don't, it's okay too. It's not a test. I'm not testing you. I'm just curious. Because I don't think I remember this as often. But Danny's looking it up right now. So do you want to read the first part of that verse, Danny? Or you can read the whole thing. This is something Jesus quoted a lot. It was, he said, you know, the top two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? The second one is, as that one is, to love your neighbor as yourself. But what does that mean? Leviticus 19:18. So what does that actually mean? What goes into loving your neighbor as yourself? Huh? Does that include forgiveness? Let's see. Danny, you can read that.
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Very clear. Very clear. Loving your neighbor includes forgiveness. Absolutely includes forgiveness. There is no room to bear a grudge against your neighbor, according to the teachings of Jesus. Not only did he teach it there, but we prayed this prayer outside today. What was the prayer? You guys remember the pertinent lines? Yes, exactly. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our transgressions, whatever you want to call it. Any dimension you want to bring to sin, he's saying, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's obviously a teaching of Jesus that we all remember, we repeat to this day. He has many parables about this. There's the parable that Di mentioned earlier, the unforgiving servant, right? There's the whole teaching on the mount. Do you remember where he said, take the log out of your eye, and then you can remove the speck from somebody else, right? You remember that? That was about judging people. He says, if you can't, that was all about judgment. That's something that's held in place through unforgiveness. If you want to be able to judge somebody accurately, then you got to get this log out of your eye so that you can accurately assess the situation, right? You're just not going to be able to do it. There is a blind spot that comes out of this stuff that is huge. It just gets in the way of everything.
What?
Yes. Okay.
When I was young, I don't know if you guys know, but when I was young, I lived in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And there was no fences. It's like we were all one. There's no fences there.
It's like living in heaven. Like this, we're all, is that what you mean? Like it just feels like we're all one. We're all, it's all forgiveness. That's amazing. That's amazing. And that sounds amazing. All right. Now, not only did Jesus teach about forgiveness, but like the people in Pennsylvania, they lived forgiveness, all right? Jesus lived forgiveness. Remember? Remember when he went to that woman who committed adultery? Remember what he said to her? Go, yeah, he didn't stone her. Like it's interesting because the law of Moses said you could kill somebody for adultery. The sacrifices in the temple were allowed. You were allowed to forgive like so many sins, but you couldn't forgive murder and you couldn't forgive adultery. Those were offenses you were to be killed for. Interesting. But he forgave this woman. And as we know, Jesus got on that cross. And in the act of being, with the, right? And then this one too. And then his feet as well. The sound of that hammer. The blood that came pouring out. That came dripping and flowing onto the ground. Into that dirt. Into that dust. The smell of blood filled the air. It was the blood of God himself, blood of Jesus Christ himself. When he's sitting there on that cross and the blood is coming out of his body, the act of murder, of killing, not just a person, but the creator of this world, the Son of God himself, he looks out at everybody, his murderers, who are in the act of murdering them, and he says this famous, famous sentence. You guys remember that sentence? Everybody does, right? What is it? I love that sentence. Because there is nothing else that can be worse than that sin. And Jesus forgave it. The unforgivable, worst sin that could possibly be committed. I mean, it's crazy. He forgave them. And anybody that was out there in that crowd that day that heard him say that, and if they believed him, guess what happened? Yeah, they received the message. They received the forgiveness. There were people in that audience that didn't receive that. I don't believe it. There were people that said, what? For me? And they received it. They received this blessing. It was amazing. This forgiveness. Isn't that incredible? Now, so anything can be forgiven. And not only did Jesus live this forgiveness out, but now you can see Jesus' forgiveness in his followers. Isn't that incredible? I think it's incredible. Because, like, I know myself, like, with my story, you know, I was talking about this with Tara. I'm like, what should I share from my own personal life? You know, I have so many examples of how I've been forgiven for so many mistakes. You know, I'm the bad guy. Tara says she's the bad guy. I'm the bad guy, too. You know, I'm the bad guy. I'm the sinner. I've made the mistakes. And she says, what about this story? I'm like, yeah, you know, except it's kind of hard for me to talk about some of those things. You know, there's some kind of resistance in me. So I had to go sit down with Brad and talk with Brad for a little bit. Brad, what do you think? Where's this resistance coming from? You know, well, somewhere at the bottom of resistance, there is unforgiveness. There's something that I still needed to forgive. And in my case, I was thinking of this time that when I was in college, and I know my parents remember this, I went out into the, they gave me a gift to go to Europe for a little, like a kind of like a summer trip. And before I left, I went down to the canal with them and started shouting at them and basically saying all kinds of shameful, harmful things that I could say to kind of hurt their feelings. And they were really scared. Like, they didn't know what to do, like why I was behaving like that. So they called the police, and I had to talk to the police for a little bit, and the police left. Next day, I go run off to Europe, you know, and I don't talk with them. I don't tell them where I'm at. They get scared. And it's amazing, this whole time, right, I'm running off kind of just like taking these gifts and not considering them, not considering their hearts, not considering what they're experiencing. You know what they're doing? You know that. They're praying. Exactly. They were on their knees praying. And I think Terry was there too, probably, because he was one of my dad's friends, and they were praying. Not only were they praying, they had their friends come pray. And oh my goodness, they were just extending forgiveness. They were extending blessing and forgiveness towards me, even though I had hurt them so much. And in the middle of that time, when I was out there in Paris, I mean, it was incredible to me because, like, I was blind to this stuff. I realized later, talking with Brad, like, because of judgments that I had made about my parents. So I wasn't even, like, thinking about, like, their feelings. I was more kind of just ignoring all that stuff and seeing it as, it's interesting how blind you get when you make a judgment on somebody. You don't want to let in any evidence that kind of contradicts that storyline that you have about that person. And, like, I had judged them in a certain way. And so anything that was like, oh, they're exhibiting love and forgiveness, I don't see that. I don't see that. I just see my judgment about them, right? So they were, regardless, even though I couldn't see it and I wasn't looking, guess what they were doing anyways? They were still loving and forgiving. They were still loving and forgiving. And I didn't even say, like, I repent or I receive it or anything like that. And they still were pouring out that forgiveness and the love. And in the middle of that whole experience, I remember God met me in a really, like, powerful way out there and showed me that I was wrong and I needed to, you know, start thinking differently about this situation. I had to come home and reconcile and things like that, which was hard to do. And I'm still working on some of those areas, still peeling back layers of the onion. You know what I mean? My dad said this too. He said, do you guys find this interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. My dad said that, if you take an onion and you peel it, it'll start to make you cry, right? So if you aren't crying from, like, forgiveness in your life, you probably haven't peeled back the first layer yet. But if you take that onion, you just keep going. There's going to be more layers. Forgiveness is a long process. There's, like, layers of it. You can peel it back and get to new layers and experience new depths of forgiveness, which is interesting to think about. And that was one way I figured out that I still had this, like, thing that I need to talk with Brad about, just so I could get up here and talk with you guys about this stuff. Because I was having a hard time connecting emotionally with it. Like, I didn't feel that impact that I was having. I needed to kind of process that more and let go of those judgments and things like that I had made.
Maybe that's why I don't like onions.
Maybe so. Maybe so. It might be. All right. But now... Through forgiveness, like I experienced God exchanging my heart, the hard parts with the softer parts, the part that can feel, the part that can be alive and experience the pain and face it. And not only that, it's like, it helps me, like, just this year I've been going to my dad's Bible study, which has been amazing. I get to spend time with him and get to know him. Before that, I had been like, why do I want to spend time with my dad, you know? It's like, I don't know, what does he have to offer, you know? That's what I was thinking in my head. Like, is he really, I mean, how close, does he really even know God? Like, all these thoughts, the judgments that I had made, right, which blinded me to who he is and his relationship with God. And this, the forgiveness, see, the forgiveness of Jesus, I'm testifying that the forgiveness of Jesus has changed my life. And it's allowed me to sit there and now go to Bible study with my dad. Not only that, but make friends with these other amazing men of the Lord right here and listen to their stories and hear things like this. Like this, the thing that my dad did by showing me the forgiveness of Jesus in that story isn't something he did just with me. All right, if you heard outside in the prayer earlier, he was praying for forgiveness for Stephen and Valerie. And that they would be blessed because their tools just got stolen and the people that committed that crime would be blessed. All right? He told me a story this week at the men's group that when he worked at a job, he had a team of guys. He works in commercial real estate. He had a team of guys who were working together. And this new lady comes into the job. And first thing she does is fire one of his friends. Like a power play. Like, I'm here now, you know? And the guys were like, what in the world are you supposed to do? And my dad says, I know, let's pray that she'll be blessed. Let's bless her. And the guys are like, are you crazy? Are you sure? I don't think we're supposed to do that. And he says, let's do it. And he starts praying for her. And guess what happens? She gets a new job offer and it's a promotion. And at the going away party, my dad can go up to her and he can give her a big hug. And he says, I'm so happy for you. I've been praying for you to be blessed. I've been praying for you. Isn't that amazing? I know it's amazing. I know it's amazing. And I have a friend at our men's group also. I mean, it's not just these kind of stories. There's all kinds of stories, you guys. Forgiveness is so amazing. Here's another story. I have a friend at our men's group who this is amazing. He goes to answer the door, all right, and this one, you know, and he opens up the door, and guess who's standing there? This is shocking. It's the man who brutally attacked and violated his daughter. And he could just feel the blood coming up and just ready to explode, and shuts the door. He leaves the house, gets in the car, drives to his small group leader at the time was my dad, drives to my dad's house and says, Rick, we got to talk about this. I'm ready to kill somebody right now. And my dad jokes about it now. He says, you know, I did it out of selfish reasons. But he said to his friend, I don't want to go to jail, basically. I don't want you to go to jail. I don't want to have to visit you in jail. So selfishly, I'm going to help you, like, work through this right now. He's like, let's just clear the agenda and let's just sit down. And they sit down and they start to read through the book of Psalms together. And this man, who was ready to seriously go kill somebody and go to jail for it and accept that responsibility, sits down reading the book of Psalms and opening up his heart to the Lord. And about a half an hour into this, he says, Rick, I don't feel like killing him anymore. I feel different. I feel like my heart has shifted, has changed. And that was that man right there that was showing the love of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ to the people in his small group, to me. And it's what we're all called to do. We're all called to broadcast that love. There is an exchange taking place. Even in the hardest circumstances where love can be revealed and there is a special kind of blessing in addition to just our regular lives. We're already blessed being Christians, but there is a special, even additional blessings when we're extending forgiveness. It can even get us out of jail. It's amazing, right? And more. Because now this man, he can pray for this person He can even tell that story and encourage others. He never would have been able to do that if he hadn't pressed into that pain and pressed into that forgiveness that God had for him, for that, for everybody. He didn't feel, nothing in him felt like forgiving that person. But out of faith, he stepped into it anyways, and he experienced the blessings of God. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So cool, right? The power of God. He experienced the power of God in that moment. God really cares about forgiveness. It is super important to him. That's what he was doing on that cross. It's amazing. So in conclusion, I've got three main points for you, you guys. There is a payoff for unforgiveness. There is a reason why we don't want to forgive. There's something we get out of it as people. We want to hold on to our unforgiveness for some kind of reason. And if you are looking at your life, you're looking at this list here, I want you to consider that you don't want to see those payoffs. You don't want to acknowledge it. It is something that's even hard to see. So if you are trying to see it and you're having a hard time seeing it, then I would ask you to just consider looking at the kind of results that you're experiencing in your life. Not what you think may or may not be there, but if you feel like, man, I'm having a hard time with this relationship, I kind of want to avoid that person. Well, look at that. That's a result. Look at it. That's some kind of isolation. There's something under there. I want you to consider there's some kind of unforgiveness under there. Look at the results. If you're experiencing, man, I'm resisting this stuff. Okay. What's under there? What is that unforgiveness underpinning that? That's what I want you to consider. Because there is a payoff and a price for unforgiveness. And God dealt with this sin very seriously in the Old Testament. And he gave a bonus to priests who forgave. And Jesus poured out that forgiveness and he passed it on to us. And if you can acknowledge that there was a bonus for these priests in the Old Testament that forgave, right? They got that steak dinner. That's just a physical blessing. How much more is the blessing for us in this New Testament, in this new covenant with Jesus, that can just flow in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the spiritual blessings that he gives us when we extend that kind of forgiveness? In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 23, it says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven. Isn't that interesting? Do you guys know why that first heart surgery was performed in South Africa and not in America? Because in America, we have something called malpractice. And the doctors here knew how to perform this surgery. They could have been doing it for years, but they were terrified of, that people were going to come after them if they made a mistake. They were terrified of this kind of unforgiveness and the retribution that takes place. In South Africa, that didn't exist. The doctor, Charles, he didn't even have malpractice insurance. It didn't exist over there. You can't get sued for it, at least at that time. You see, forgiveness, in forgiveness, there is provision, there is peace, and there is life, and there is freedom. You can't really be your full self without it. There were a lot of doctors in America that couldn't be their full self and try out the ideas they wanted to do. So if you're in a relational problem, like a maybe student-teacher, if some of you guys have student-teachers, or parents and children, or friends, or pastor congregants, or employee bosses, maybe marriage relationships, spouses, I don't know. Any kind of relationship, whatever role you're experiencing, if you have something that's been popping up in your mind, you know, maybe there's something that's been coming to mind in this talk we've had today that just like, it's kind of bugging me, it keeps coming up. Maybe that's an area to consider that you could release forgiveness into. And I want to challenge you guys to one of these three things this week. Can I do that?
Yeah.
I've got three challenges for you, all right? Listen to them. First one is this. You can take your pick. Just one of these three is what I'm challenging you to. Either go to one of those pop-ups, one of those people that are popping up in your memory, in your mind, in your heart, and tell them what you forgive them for. Tell them what ideas that you've made up about that situation. how you've created a storyline. Ask them how they feel to hear that. And listen to their experiences. That's one. Or you can take door number two. Go to one of those pop-ups and ask them how, well, actually tell them how you contributed to an issue that has affected your relationship. And ask for their forgiveness. Listen to them and see how that feels. Or door number three. If that's not possible for some reason, and that's fine if it's not possible, I get it. There is forgiveness for that. But door number three is to go to an elder and get counseling on how to forgive if you are stuck so that you can get that full freedom. You guys hear that? All right. You see one that you like?
Yeah.
All right. If you are willing to publicly declare your commitment to stand into this and to receive God's forgiveness and call it out in others, then I would like you to stand up to your feet. On your feet as an act of public declaration that you are willing to forgive and be forgiven. And now, this is awesome. I want you guys to look around. Look who's standing up. I want you guys to see that this is your family. These are your people that you... Look around. Look at the people here. These are the people you can count on, not only to forgive you, but to call out forgiveness in you. And to show you the forgiveness of Jesus. These are your people, your family. All right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, let me pray for you. And then my dad's going to give the benediction today. Isn't that cool? What? And there's a song? Okay, a song and then a benediction. All right. I didn't take too long? Okay, cool. Let's pray. God, I bless them. I bless this community to flow in your forgiveness. The forgiveness that you reveal, Father, in Jesus Christ. That same forgiveness that you revealed on the cross through your Son. I just bless this community to flow in, to pour that into every relationship, whether or not those people deserve it or not. Whether or not they deserve it, God, I just pray we could just flow in that forgiveness. And whatever kind of support we need, we trust that you'll provide it, God. We trust that we thank you for this community that we can stand in, that we can support each other in through your provision and through your forgiveness. God, you really have changed the world because of your love, God. And we bless you in Jesus' name.